It's time for JT the Brick.
This is a new regime led by Antonio Pierce, a former player who's won a Super Bowl.
Our vision is clear. Win a division.
He's the right guy at the right time for this job. Right guy, right time to get the Raiders back, not to greatness, to the playoffs.
Our intention of how we play, the execution of our play, the mindset of our team, that's what I'm looking for.
I would love to see Antonio Pierce have the opportunity to coach this Raider team, so I think he deserves it.
JT the Brick.
This coach wants to be more physical. He wants to put his hands on players.
You got the Jordan rules, and I'm calling it out from now on, as long as I'm here, the Patrick Mahomes rules.
I like when the head coach says this. I'm a season ticket holder.
Squeezing by the throat.
Antonio Pierce wants to get the black hole back to where it was in the Coliseum in Oakland. Let's help him.
And now,
Raiders!
Here's JT the Brick.
Raider Nation unite. JT on a Friday, last show of the week from my humble abode at home on the mean streets of Summerlin as we wrap up this week. You would know that already if you were on my YouTube channel, which is popping right now. We got people in there. We get in there about 10 minutes before the show, 5-10 minutes before the show, and I get a feel for what the Raider Nation wants to talk about. So, yeah, it's a Friday. A big weekend coming up here. I'm excited about it tonight. Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. I'll be one of the MCs for that. Big night. Big crowd. Big crowd. And I'm excited. I'll tell you a little bit about that. We interviewed all the inductees this week. It's one of the prized events on my calendar all year. A lot of them are Raider events that I get a chance to MC. This is a big one. The Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. So I'm really excited about that tonight. And I'll be heading down, and I'll be ready to prep up. I've been prepping for a couple of days, and we'll see what happens. We got a great class coming in. We're excited about that. We talked to all of the enshrinees this week, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun tonight. And then I'm going to get after it, going to see the Grateful Dead, Dead & Company. Going to go check that out. Really excited about that on Saturday night. So a good, solid weekend as we get going here. And if you're going to the event tonight, please say hello. And for everybody else here, it's Raider Vacation. That's the theme of the monologue brought to you by PTs. They fuel the monologue every day, the best happy hour in town, 5 to 7, midnight to 2. No debate. Head on out to PTs, rewards for gaming, just the ability to eat, have lunch, be there with your friends and watch sports. It's the perfect fit for me and the monologue. The King Newsman, the elite newsman at the bottom of the hour, Chris Matthews from 8 News Now. I saw Chris last night. Really nice event I went to last night at the MGM Grand. They're going to have the 100th championship fight. Tank Davis is fighting on Saturday night. And they're going to raise a banner to the top of the MGM Grand. Kind of like what Madison Square Garden did when Billy Joel had his 100th concert there. They raised a banner. They did that for Fish also. So they're going to raise a banner for the 100 championship fights at the MGM Grand. I was talking to Steve Karp about it last night, and Jim Gray, a big-time member of the Raider Nation, is Jim Gray, one of Mark Davis's and Mrs. Davis's and Mr. Davis when he's alive, confidants there. And I've been to probably about 60, 65 of the fights that were there. And on top of that, I've been to a lot of concerts who were there. So it was a big night last night. Congratulations to Scott Gertner and the entire team from MGM. They put on a nice party. It was really cool. And I had a good time. Was there for about an hour and a half, and it fired me up for the fights and what's happening in boxing. The other big news today is Conor McGregor pulled out of UFC 303, which is a big deal because Dana White was at the Max Crosby Foundation, another event I was blessed to MC, and they announced that there. And everybody in the room had a chance to bid on an opportunity to be in the ring with Conor McGregor before the fight, but he pulls out due to injury. I think that's it for Conor McGregor. He was great for Vegas. Conor was unbelievable for Vegas. He brought millions upon millions of dollars of revenue, and the Irish who flew from overseas to come here and stay in the hotel rooms and go to the pubs and go to the bars, and he had some memorable fights in the octagon. But I don't see, he's a movie star now. He's just in the movie Roadhouse with Jake Gyllenhaal. Look, he can get in shape, but he's done. He's absolutely done. If they want to bring him back one more time to fight someone he can win and go out and just have a win, I'm okay with that. That's fine. But that's kind of a disappointment because a lot of people bought tickets and also airline tickets and hotel rooms. So that's some breaking news. I'm watching the U.S. Open. Patrick Cantlay, Oberg, they're both at 5-under. Pavon, 5-under. I thought Bryson DeChambeau was amazing today. He's 4-under. And Rory McIlroy is 3-under. So goodbye to Scotty Scheffler. He needs a miracle to make the cut at five over. Scotty's 10 back. I hope he makes the cut. I'd like to see Scotty Scheffler golf with a little bit of just uncertainty. He's not going to win. Let's see what happens. Do you know how many sports book directors today, the men and women who work the sports books? Every casino has a sports book. And they took in a whole bunch of bets on Scotty Scheffler to win, to come in the top 10, blah, blah, blah. And those sports books tonight are hemorrhaging with cash. All this cash. They're going to be throwing ravished dinners tonight, buying cocktails, going to nightclubs because Scotty Scheffler is nowhere to be found. Hey, that's what's hard about gambling. It's hard to pick winners. I thought Scotty Scheffler would win this thing. I like Max Homa. He didn't even make the cut. Victor Hovland got eaten up and chewed out. So this is real golf, everybody. This is not the type of golf that you play when you're playing a Muni or even if you're playing one of the nicer courses around Southern Nevada. This is real golf. You can hit the best shot of your life and it just rolls off into the bunker. So I'm going to keep an eye on this coming up here momentarily. I'm watching a lot of this right now. As Bobby tells me, move the mic away from your mouth, please. Well, me and Bobby have been doing radio for almost 30 years. We will calibrate it correctly. See, when I'm home, I'm a quiet man named John, and I talk like this. When I get on the radio, I get all worked up. I raise my voice, and we have to dial it in. All right, what do I mean by Raider vacation? It's the first time I really feel like it's a Raider vacation. I don't know how I can describe this. I think a couple of categories jump out at me. Number one, as of now, as of the hosting of the show today, on June 14th, there is no Raider drama. Okay, no one got arrested. No one's in trouble. No one did anything stupid. We've had a lot of people do some stupid things since we moved to Vegas. We have. We've had a couple of guys do some stupid things since we moved to Vegas. Knock wood, let's not have that again. Basically, Antonio Pierce told everybody goodbye, but kind of concentrate on your fitness. Concentrate and be ready in mid-July to ramp it up again. And I texted one player today who got right back to me who said, maybe 2 weeks off for him mentally. Not working out and everything's going to be great. But 2 weeks with family and to do that, which is important. I said, good luck. I'll talk to you in 3 weeks. And then we're all going to end up in Costa Mesa where the Raiders are going to train in the cooler weather and have to hit the ground running because the preseason's going to jump on everybody in August with a game at Minnesota. The nicest people in the world are from Minnesota. We'll travel there. And then we'll get the Niners and the Cowboys at home. And they'll have big crowds, and I think you're going to see guys playing. Maybe you don't play Max. Who else would you sit? I'd sit Devontae. I'd sit Max. Who else would you sit? And I don't want to dive into that fully, but if a couple of people want to get in the first hour, when you come up to the preseason games, we got a long time from that. Man, I wish I didn't say this because people are going to tweet and text. Who does JT think should sit during the preseason? I think we're going to see more players play. Because of the fact that it's kind of getting to the point around here where we got to win. You know, we got to win. We got to win and get to the playoffs and win playoff games. And the conservative approach in the preseason has not worked. Now, I believe all these coaches work the players hard in the preseason. They do. They work them hard. The practices are hard. The film study is hard. The accountability, everything is hard. So once training camp starts, everything will be ramped up. There'll be a day off here or there. But the players will have a couple of good nights. They'll have some bonding and all that. But the practices are not going to be easy because Antonio Pierce was a former player. Marvin Lewis, a former head coach. Joe Philbin, a former head coach. And they're all going to meet every night in one of the conference rooms and go over the game plan for the next day. And it shouldn't be easy. These guys got to be tested. And I think the test will be on the offense to put in wrinkles in Costa Mesa in the preseason that we're not going to see. You see, that's what's most frustrating to me in my position. I got a little bit of extra access, got a chance to hear and see some things that maybe some people don't. But they're going to be pretty vanilla in the games in the preseason, but they can't on the practice field. When they go live on the practice field and they're in pads, they got to really tweak this thing up quickly. And that would be Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers. And once they get those guys going, in practice, you don't have to show anybody else what we're doing. You can hold that back for the Chargers. You might have heard we play the Harbaugh brothers the first 2 weeks, both on the road. I would rather make sure we're ready to pounce on those guys, those scoundrels, pounce on them, and surprise them with some trickeration. Do you hear that word? Trickeration. And what would be my trick? Check down to Brock. Someone make a t-shirt for me. You guys are a massive army of Raider fans. I got some new merch coming out. I check down to Brock. Because you know how much I went nuts when Derek Carr checked down. Oh, my God. Oh, the time. And Derek was such and is a very good quarterback. I say mostly great things, not good things about Derek Carr. But when he checked down and I was sitting in the on the sideline standing in Oakland or in the crowd or in the booth or whatever, and he checked down on 3rd and 8, I'd lose my bleeping mind. I'm good with it now. Check down to Brock. Just get him the ball. Let him touch it. It's 3rd and 4. Give it to him. How about a reverse? Hand it off to him. Let's get 4 yards with Brock. He's unguardable. You can't tackle him. He'll fall. He'll run through people. So that's some of the things I want to see. You know, little play action, little pump fake. Where's the Gannon pump fake? Can someone also find me the Rich Gannon pump fake? You remember the art of the Gannon pump fake? Gannon would get to the line of scrimmage, look left to Tim Brown, come out and do this aggressive pump fake to the left and then spin with his hips and someone's wide open. Let's get some pump fakes in here. Let's get the defense looking at things that aren't Brock Bowers or Devontae. And that leads me to my tweet from earlier today, which I think is going to be what I use the rest of the show. And I'm going to tell, I'm going to ask this about what Chris Matthews is going to join us here momentarily. Here's the tweet that's got a lot of juice today, man. Let me double check this tweet here before I go. Yeah, it's got 19,000 views and 31 reposts and a bunch of likes. Here's what I tweeted earlier today at JT the Brick. The Las Vegas Raiders are clearly a better team than last year, in which they won 8 games because of the additions of Christian Wilkins and Brock Bowers. That can't be debated. The issue becomes the quarterback position, in which Aiden O'Connell won games down the stretch last year, and Gardner Minshew can also play. The media narrative is that we don't have an elite quarterback, which is fair. The team is excited and on the same page with D'Antonio Pierce and a staff that includes former head coaches and very good assistants. We'll see soon how this roster can be. Many media members don't know the roster and are just relying on average to poor quarterback play. We soon shall see. See you at training camp. So that was the tweet, and I think that's the most accurate thing I could say leading into this Raider break. You might call it a vacation. I don't care what you call it. I got to grind through some radio here the next couple of weeks, and then we're going to have the top 10 games of all time debuting July 8th is our plan here. But what this comes down to is the addition of Christian Wilkins and Brock Bowers is a game changer. Did you hear what I said? It's a game changer. We got an elite player on defense, and we have the greatest tight end ever to play college football. Ever to play college football. All due respect to Mike Ditka and John Mackey and Todd Christensen. All of these elite tight ends from Darren Waller to Travis Kelce to George Kittle, right? George Kittle, they were nowhere near the player that Brock Bowers was at Georgia. Nowhere near the player of Brock Bowers. So now Brock Bowers needs to become better than Kittle and better than Kelce. He could end up being great, but I don't know if he's going to win 3 or 4 Super Bowls. That's what Kelsey's on the path to do. Do you know how much better Brock Bowers was than Rob Gronkowski in college? Do you even know where Rob Gronkowski went to college? In Arizona, do you even know that? No one even cared about Gronkowski going to the Hall of Fame with a gold jacket. We got to get this kid moving. BM is his new nickname. I don't know if it'll stick. Devontae gave it to him. Businessman. Because he's all about business. I like that. I like that. You know, I like the cigar parties too. I like cigar parties. I like people going to concerts, having fun. Get on stage with Luke Combs. Do whatever you want. But as John Madden said, play like hell on Sunday. That's what this comes down to. So I think everybody's in a really good spot. I truly like this team. And the heckler in the back room just said, oh, JT, you like everything the Raiders do. Man, you carry the water for the owner. Oh, JT, yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's worked out pretty well, right? I'm okay with that. I root for the Raiders because I work for the team and I'm on their flagship radio station. We have some journalists here on the flagship radio station. I get it. You can't root for anybody. I can root for the Raiders. When the Raiders win, my life is noticeably better outside the house. Even inside the house sometimes. I get cranky, man, coming home from that postgame show. Woo! Coming home from that postgame show and I'm the last media member out of there, man. Walking by, they're sweeping up Wynn Nightclub. I had to walk to the parking lot, man. Man, I get chippy. Woo! So I don't want that this year. I want to surprise some people. I want to surprise some people and creep up on the media. Did you just hear what I said? I want to creep up on the media. And forget about the Bronco fans. We've gone after them good enough. And Kansas City fans are coming after us. And all of that. But I will tell you, I want to creep up on the media who is not giving this team the time of day. Not giving them the time of day. Not even acknowledging the greatness of the Raiders. They won't even acknowledge it. PFF comes out with a list today, the top 10 rosters. I know the Raiders aren't going to be on it. Raiders got a really good roster. They do. Now, they didn't put the Raiders in the top 10 because, hey, they don't deserve to be in the top 10. But we don't have an elite quarterback, so we aren't going to make it. But the Jets are number 7. Jets stink, by the way. The Jets bleeping stink. And they're ranked in the top 10 with the rosters. And their number 1 guy is gone. He's AWOL somewhere in Europe. Oh, yeah, the other teams that are there, obvious. San Francisco, Baltimore, Kansas City. I'm good with all that. They have better rosters. But, man, what would the Raiders look like if they had an elite, not rookie, an elite? How good is Trevor Lawrence? He signed this. He's like the newest highest paid quarterback now on a yearly basis. That won't last long, but this new contract gave him some really good guaranteed money. I'll go up against Trevor Lawrence any day of the week with what we have already. I think that Aiden O'Connell could beat Trevor Lawrence, and so could Gardner Minshew. But until they do it, you know, I'm not on an island with the media. No one else agrees with me, man. There are many people that agree with me. So that's the monologue as we open up the show. If you want to get in, 702-365-9200, 702-365-9200. You might wonder why I give out the phone number, because I'm a solo host, number one. Two, I respect the callers. I was a caller. And number three, the other networks and hosts don't take calls anymore. Pretty simple, right? You know, I think this is going to work. It's always worked. So if you got something to say on the Raiders, I don't expect you to have something every day. But if you got something that's important coming off my monologue, I'd like to hear from that. And we'll see what happens. The other point that's in my chat here in the YouTube page, JT the Brick YT, is a lot of people are not impressed with the opening of mini camp with the play of the offense over the defense. Oh, be quiet. Be quiet. What are you talking about? Mini camp and the ball didn't come out perfectly on every play. Relax. They got to fix that. But training camp, it's going to be hard to hide that. It's going to be hard to hide via training camp if the ball's not coming up quickly and Max, even though he's not allowed to tackle the quarterback, is screaming around the corner, playing touch and laughing, going, yeah, that would have been a sack. That's got to get cleaned up. And I think Luke Getsy is going to try to do that. So there's a new regime here led by Antonio Pierce. A couple of Antonio Pierce sound bites from yesterday. And look, I think there's a couple of things that he said. First off, the first camp as a head coach is different for him. Imagine him in the past being the linebacker coach or the interim coach when he really couldn't just let it fly. Now he's able to do that.
Productive. Ask the coaches from the jump to put X's and O's to the side a little bit in offseason as we start up in phase 1 and 2 and get to know one another. Coaches on coaches, coaches to players. And then when the players came in, players are players. Wanted to really build that chemistry, that continuity, that trust, accountability, communication that we talked about all offseason. I thought it went well. When we got on the grass, you can see the excitement, the passion, the love, the effort to play the game. I think the best part about the offseason, you're still in school. And it's in a sense, when I say you're in school, you're learning. There's been adjustments that the coaches have come up with. We have new staff, obviously, on offense. Defensively, we added some new pieces in the coaching staff. A lot of good ideas. And then you want to put it on the grass and see how it, you know, comes out and how it works with the players. And that's the best part about it, because then now over the next 5 weeks, as Patrick Graham would say, you get in the lab, Luke, you get in the lab, Tom, myself, we get in the lab, and we we make the adjustments necessary for what team we have now. Because when we first started in phase two, we didn't even have a draft. We didn't have the rookie class. We didn't have all these other pieces. And then you put it all together and you see how it starts to gel. And your identity and your the look of your team starts to mold into what you want it to be.
One of the things I was thinking out in the backyard brick is, you know, Antonio Pierce is damn good with the media. I mean, he is a walking soundbite. And I'll get to Rob Ryan in a little bit. Rob Ryan's even better. He's an unbelievable soundbite. They're both great. But if you're not winning, you don't get those soundbites. You know, if you're not winning games, if you're 1-2 or you're 2-3 or 3-5, you don't get the soundbites about what we should could be and what we're doing. You really kind of get on the defensive, right? In anything in life, coaches, basketball. You see Jason Kidd down 0-3 to the Celtics. I was watching Jason Kidd's press conference. And what is he? He's not smiling anymore. He's not taking shots. He's not telling you how good he is. He's just like, it is what it is. We're going to fight for one more game. They're toast. And how about the Edmonton Oilers? A year ago yesterday, we, the great fans of Las Vegas, won the Stanley Cup with the Vegas Golden Knights. And Edmonton's about to get swept by Florida, the team we beat in the Stanley Cup. God, I really believe that we messed that up in a big way, considering the two teams are left. Final call last night as the Panthers are about to sweep.
Ekblad, here on the near side, continues to hold it. What strength he's showing here down to our right, the near corner. The Oilers come up with a pass to the line, and it's to nobody all the way down to our left. It rolls. The final seconds tick away, and the Panthers take game three by a 4-3 final score. The Panthers lead the Stanley Cup final 3-0.
All right, so that's, you know, Edmonton made a nice little comeback there late, but not enough to get it done. So that's where we're at today, Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame tonight, and then Dead & Company tomorrow night. And it is so hot. How hot is it? I like the heat. I like it hot. I've always said it's 101. 101 feels for me about 90. Is that right for you? Am I making sense when I say that? The majority of our listeners are from out of the state of Nevada, and which I love. When you look at what's happening here, 101. So today it's supposed to get to 106, tomorrow 106, and then next week it dives back into the 90s. So with all of this happening here, I'm pretty happy, man. I like it hot. I like getting in the pool. Play golf, you got to get up early. And my favorite thing is going out late. I'm a late night guy. You know, I don't go to bed until after late night. And I go to bed at, you know, 12:31. I'm up by 7, earlier than 7 with the stock market every day. I don't sleep a lot. But I will tell you, being outside with no humidity, the stars out at night. Yes, it's warm. It's warm. But at night, I was telling my wife the other day, the best time of the day is after midnight and right before about 7, 8 in the morning. It's just glorious out here. But we're going to reach 115. So that's it for the monologue. Thank you for everybody this week. Second hour of the show will be here. We're going to go big on some of the best of media day. I got a lot of other opinions out there. Caitlin Clark. Oh, my God, these low-life members of the media in the WNBA. Not all of them, okay? So some of you ACES media members who love your credentials, I know you love them. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the Caitlin Clark ones that are baiting race, and are asking Caitlin Clark questions now on how she's affecting racial issues in America through basketball.
Caitlin, I know you mentioned that, you know, you want to focus straight on basketball. You definitely respect that. But when, just ask you directly, when people use your name for racism, misogyny, whatever,
yeah.
What is your response to that specifically?
Yeah, I think it's disappointing. I think, you know, everybody in our world, you know, deserves the same amount of respect. The women on our league deserve the same amount of respect. So people should not be using my name to push those agendas. It's disappointing. It's not acceptable. But yeah, I mean, this league is a league I grew up admiring and wanting to be a part of. Like, some of the women in this league were my biggest idols and role models growing up and helped me want to achieve this moment right here that I get to play in every single night. So just treating every single woman in this league with the same amount of respect, I think is just a basic human thing that everybody should do. Like, you know, just be a kind person and treat them, you know, how you would want to be treated. And I think it's, you know, very simple.
Yeah, just be a kind person is what she said there. Can you imagine some of these members of the media. If I ruled the world, we don't have that now. We don't have a king in this country. We have the Kardashians. We don't have a king. We don't have royalty here. But if I was king of America and I was in charge of the media, I would just rip credentials off people every day. I would rip them off in the middle of these press conferences when the guy says, well, how did it feel to lose? What? That's your question? I'd rip his credential off his neck. That bozo who asked Caitlin Clark about race, I'd rip the credential right off his neck. That's what we need to do. We need to clean out some of the media who are just clueless and can't think of a thought-provoking question. It's a right to be in a locker room. It's the right to be on the court before and after the game. You're not entitled to have a credential. And man, we are seeing the WNBA is a joke when it comes to some of this media. All right, Chris Matthews from 8 News Now will join us next about Connor McDavid not being here at UFC 303. The MGM has a big fight weekend. We were there together last night. And we'll get Chris's thoughts on Raiders Media Day all the way through minicamp. 702-365-9200. La Casa Cigars, Tivoli Village, proud partner of the show. Live music, 500 selections, great whiskey and scotch.
There's never been a Celtic team ever with a better playoff record than what you guys have to this point. You guys have a chance to be second all time, and the 86 team went 82-18. You guys could be two games away from that as like the second best Celtic team ever in terms of record. How much more would that add to it when you think of all that this franchise has done? You guys could be at the top of a whole lot of lists in that record book.
I didn't know that. That would be really cool. But you guys probably would say we didn't play anybody to get here, so we just have to do it again next year.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. All you got to do is put up the numbers the Celtics are putting up, and you become an all-time team. Said the same thing about the Warriors, and look, you can't say that about Denver. Denver didn't repeat. Denver's team last year was really good, but statistically, this Celtics team is better. And you can rank a lot of other teams, but this Celtic team is about to raise another banner to surpass the Lakers. I don't know. I thought the Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett team was a little bit better. Maybe I'm wrong. Chris Matthews from 8 News Now, the Dean of the Newsmen, kind enough to join us. I spent some time with him last night at the MGM Grand. And Chris, it was good to see you. What a nice event with some boxing dignitaries in town as the MGM Grand is celebrating 100 championship fights.
Yeah, this weekend. It was great to see you, and thanks for having me on, JT. It was nice seeing you last night as well. When you look at that MGM Grand Garden Arena and the terrific fights, they had about 8 boxers on hand last night. Some of the boxers that had actually fought right there inside the MGM. I had a chance to talk to Sean Porter after and Bob Arum. And they just talked about how special that place was. If you were coming to Vegas to fight and you were going to fight at the MGM Grand Garden Arena, you knew it was going to be a big, big event. And they had a video that I thought was really impressive. They got some of the top-level fighters who had fought there and Oscar De La Hoya. Well, all these guys had great praise for the MGM. And it's almost like when you're coming up and you had fought at the Grand Garden Arena, you knew that you had actually arrived. It's just a special place. And this weekend, you got Tank Davis and Frank Martin fighting. It'll be the 100th title fight. They're going for the WBA lightweight crown. So it's going to be an interesting weekend, but just a great place to hear Bob Arum. I asked Bob, I said, Bob, of all those fights that you've promoted at the MGM Grand, which one sticks out in your mind the most? And he said the Foreman Moore fight, where Foreman got the knockout at age 45, JT. Crazy.
Yeah, that's what Jim Lampley, we had him on yesterday, and he said that was his number one, too, because of the significance of that win and becoming heavyweight champion again. I would agree. You know, Bite Night with Tyson Holyfield, too, and the bite and what happened there, for me, it was one of the most significant nights of my life because I saw things that night that I have never seen since. From the police to the mini riot to what was happening as I walked the streets of Vegas that night from the MGM to that Hard Rock Hotel and Casino at the time. And it just felt like the night went on and on and on forever. And it changed the legacy of Mike Tyson and even Evander Holyfield for the better. But Chris, as we were talking last night, to me, the guy who delivered the most was Pacquiao. And people are going to say, what do you mean Floyd never lost? Yeah, Floyd had great fights there, memorable fights, but Pacquiao's fights to me were bigger, more entertaining. You were on the edge of your seat. He might get knocked out. He might knock someone else out. He always came in the ring willing to entertain on top of winning the fight.
Well, that's what he always talked about, too. Pacquiao was one of those guys. Every single press conference, if you went back and listened to every single one of them, he would talk about, I'm here to entertain the fans. Mm-hmm. That's yes. That was his biggest goal. He always wanted to be an entertainer. Obviously, he is who he is in terms of a great fighter, but he wanted to put on a good show. He wasn't going to be take nothing away from Floyd Mayweather, but he's such a defensive specialist, and he's fantastic at it, unbeaten. But Floyd was a defensive fighter, and his fights were not always that exciting, frankly. But these Pacquiao fights were just thrillers. And one that sticks out in my mind, they had it on the video board last night, was the Pacquiao-Ricky Hatton, because Ricky Hatton brought a ton of fans from across the Atlantic to Las Vegas. And you remember that, JT. They would walk down the halls of the casinos just, you know, singing that "There's Only One Ricky Hatton" song, and it was, I mean, there was some wild, wild nights there at the MGM Grand. So that was fun last night. Yeah, definitely.
Chris Matthews, we sat together for Conor McGregor's most dramatic win at T-Mobile. The fact that he has to pull out of UFC 303 is big. The fight card might have got better because Conor's really not good at the end of his career. Maybe the card gets better, but there are a lot of people coming over from Europe that have to cancel that trip or won't be there. And that would have been made for TV really big for Dana and UFC. But the sport will move on. And, Chris, I'll ask you. I said in my monologue, I don't think we're going to see Conor fight again. He's in movies now. He's got business. He's doing tremendously well. I think he needs to secure his wealth, not spend it on yachts and blow all his money, stay in the entertainment field and the spirits world that he's in. And I don't think there's any upside with him fighting one more time. Do you see him getting back in the octagon?
I don't. And there was, you know, there's nothing been planned to get that fight with Michael Chandler rescheduled or down the road they're going to do it in September. No, I just don't think, I agree with you 100%. I don't. It, when you have that much money, even remember after, I mean, what is he, a 35-year-old who has fought just four times since 2016? He's just, he hasn't been active. He's been doing all the other things, which, and you know, hats off to him. He's making a ton of money, so why fight? Why go through all the training? He's got a family now, three kids, loves being a dad. You see on social media how much fun he has with his kids and his children and doing all those things. So I don't ever see him getting back in the ring. And who would blame him? I mean, he's got a promotional company now. He can make money promoting other fighters and getting them in the octagon and following his footsteps. But JT, I sure miss those days when Conor would just off the cuff throw out some of the best lines in all of sports. It was so much fun the week leading up to his fight. So I was kind of looking forward to something like that. But no, I don't blame him one single bit. In fact, even after the Floyd Mayweather fight where he made a ton of money, Dana kind of even, you know, speculated then there might not be too much more of Conor McGregor. When you have that much money, it's kind of hard to all of a sudden say, I am going to start training again for a fight. It's just, it's a different life for him, so I don't ever see him getting back in the octagon at all.
Chris Matthews, 8 News Now. Finally, Chris, your takeaway from Raiders minicamp. They showed up, and they're not dealing with what the New York media is dealing with Aaron Rodgers not showing up. I think everyone likes each other. Everybody's on the same page. Everything looks great to me, but the national media doesn't think the Raiders have a quarterback, let alone a really good quarterback or elite quarterback, and I can understand that. But this quarterback debate, it's not a controversy yet. This debate and competition is pretty much going to drive the summer. Do you see it that way?
Oh, yeah. Well, and it always will be when, you know, you got Minshew and Aiden O'Connell and battling back and forth, and there's really no clear cut number one, although Pierce says that going into the season, it looks like it's going to be O'Connell. But don't forget, Minshew had a decent season last year. I mean, he can still play football, and it's, and when you got that defense, which the Raiders have now, I am so excited, JT, to see Max Crosby and Wilkins on the field at the same time. I'm thrilled to see how that's going to go on the defensive side of the ball. So I'm actually excited this offseason down in Costa Mesa, not this blazing, relentless heat that we're suffering through here in Las Vegas. Give a chance to those guys go down, spend some time in a hotel, bond a little bit. It's cooler down there. I just think it's all good. You don't have all the distractions of being at home. I mean, you know, we live simple lives, right, JT? But we, I mean, our lives are different than an NFL football player. So I just think it's going to be a good thing for them in July to go down there and spend a little bit of time there as they get ready for this season. A lot of questions on offense, the quarterback, of course, the biggest, and the running back, we'll see. I think White's going to be just fine. I think they're going to be set there. But the biggest question is going to be around the quarterback. Can the quarterback get the ball to those top-notch receivers? So that's going to be interesting. But I think that defense, I'm thrilled about the defense.
Well, Chris, I'm honored tonight to be one of the MCs for the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. You've been covering this event for a long time, and we're honored in our building as Tony Bonici, who you know, and Jesse Leeds, who have been stalwarts in building radio here in this town, not only in sports and multiple platforms, will be getting in along with the rest of the inductees. So always a great night when so many of the deal makers and people that have had an impact in sports get together.
That's going to be a fun night. I'll see you out there tonight. We're going to be out there doing live shots for Channel 8 here in Las Vegas. And for those listening and those might be traveling into Las Vegas, they got to check out the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. There is a wall on the north end of that Lee's Family Forum arena that has all the inductees. And it's so crazy to think how many terrific, absolutely terrific sports athletes and business people have come through Las Vegas or grew up in Las Vegas and made an impact in sports in Las Vegas. Well, just this tonight, Kenny Bayless, who has refereed some of the greatest fights inside the MGM Grand Garden, he's going to be inducted tonight. C.J. Watson, who played ball at Bishop Gorman High School, then went to Tennessee, spent a decade in the NBA, played with Kobe, and you know some of the greats. He has some great stories. That's tonight. You got Brady Expert, one of the best amateurs in the West, golfer. So he's going in. You mentioned Tony Bonici and Leeds and those guys. Every sport, they're the flagship of every sport. So you've got a terrific class going in tonight, and that's going to be cool. I'm looking forward to seeing you there tonight and enjoying the talks, the speeches. Oh, and most importantly, JT, the food. It's always wonderful.
Hey, Chris, why the hell am I emceeing the thing? You just gave the open. Can I cut and paste that and have you do that tonight and I can sit backstage, man? Come on, that was unbelievable.
No, I'm really looking forward to it. You always do a terrific job. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
Thank you, Chris.
Producing these great athletes and business personnel in Southern Nevada. I just love Las Vegas.
So
got so many terrific stories and people here.
Hey, Chris, Tiger just hit one into the bleachers. So just rest assured now that we're done talking, you would have been better on this part three than Tiger Woods. I could have put Chris Matthews on the tee box and you wouldn't have hit it into the bleachers. They are up against the bleachers. So take that with you. I'll see you tonight, buddy. Thanks for doing this.
All right. Thank you very much, JT. Have a great show.
The Dean of the News. Chris Matthews, 8 News Now. You just hear that voice and you feel like you're watching 8 News Now and getting the sports from Chris. Fantastic. Really appreciate him, and I'll see him tonight. Yeah, Tiger just teed off, and I'm interviewing Chris, and I look up, and the ball goes over the green, rolls up to the bleachers. Come on, Tiger. Come on, Tiger. I understand that Tiger can't hit it 380 yards maybe off the tee, but you got to dial in Tiger, some of these irons on a par 3. I mean, you almost got to be perfect on this golf course. And that's one of the things I don't like about Pinehurst number 2. A lot of people are hitting good shots and they're landing on the green and just rolling off. And you see that every so often. You can live with it, but it's happening constantly. Patrick Cantlay, 6 under. Also, Oberg, 6 under. Pavon, 5 under. I love the way DeChambeau played today. Brooks Koepka is 1 over. And Brooks Koepka, former U.S. Open champion, is trying to get going here, and he's struggling too because it's just hard to get speed on the greens. All right, we'll wrap it up coming up here this hour on the other side. And next hour, Bobby and I decided, because it's Friday, some of the best interviews that we did this week, we're going to kind of package them together and introduce them. How about this? Max Crosby and Antonio Pierce right out of the gate at 105. You don't want to miss that as we continue on. Lee's Family Forum is where I'll be tonight for the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame on a nice Friday. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Q Myers will join you right after I'm done at 2 o'clock with a big show.
Part of my upbringing. Just kind of how I grew up, where I grew up at. Being the only child, defending for yourself, finding different ways to get out of situations. But then more importantly, just having the right people around me. even when I made bad decisions, you know, you always had that one person that was trying to lead you the right way. And I think my professional career kind of really formed me a lot, right? When I got to the Washington Commanders, 3 head coaches, 4 D coordinators, 4 linebacker coaches, 4 strength conditioning guys. Like, I mean, every year was something new, new language. But I never stopped my number one goal, my number one purpose to play football and to play at a high level. And then I went to New York and, you know, stability, continuity, what it like to win, what pro football looked like from other pro players, that all helped me out. And at the end of the day, it's like what I want here, you know, when you have those veterans, like I had as a rookie with Darryl Green, Bruce Smith, Jesse Armsteads of the world, you know, they helped mold me to be the player and to train, to study, to prepare to be a professional football player. And that's something that I really believe in, and that's reflective in our staff.
Antonio Pierce is going to have to adapt. Games are going to make him adapt, and he's got Joe Philbin there. And Marvin Lewis will be able to do it. Patrick Cantlay is leading the U.S. Open, and he just hit a 10-foot chip shot from the rough, and it's clean. The rough isn't thick. Onto the green, it rolled right back to him. So that's the problem with this golf tournament. Like, he just hit a chip into the center of the green, and he didn't move. It came right back to him. So he's going to lose a stroke here as it is getting faster and faster at Pinehurst number 2, the United States Open second round. It looks like the cut line will be probably plus five here, so maybe Scheffler can make it. Scotty Scheffler was not happy today, tossed his driver, was not happy. I want to end this hour with Caitlin Clark. I barely touched it, and you might say why, because she was asked a question about, and she pushed back against online commentators who have used her name in discussions to degenerate and to talk about other players, and I don't like this. And she doesn't want to talk about racial topics at all. She says it's unacceptable. People should not be using my name to push these agendas. It's disappointing. It's not acceptable. She said that yesterday after a workout with her teammates. Treating every single woman in the league with the same amount of respect. I think it's just basic human right things to do. Everybody should do that. I agree with that 100%. Shut your mouth if you don't have a basketball question to Caitlin Clark. Now, if guys like me on the radio sitting in Las Vegas want to talk about Caitlin Clark and all these issues and what's happening with, you know, opponents trying to knock her to the ground and playing rough with her, that's one thing. But you get an opportunity in a media session, act like a professional and talk about basketball. She doesn't need to be. There's so many race baiters out there. There's so many guys. I'll just stick with the guys who are on Twitter. And they're race baiters. All they do on their political talk shows or whatever they do is talk about race and things that stir the pot racially. And then they'll put up a picture of sunflowers and a sunset to try to throw everybody off that they're race baiters. It's exactly what's happening here with Caitlin Clark. Leave her alone. Leave her alone. Someone in that organization better do a better job with the media and step up. Big Al is in San Francisco. Wrap it up, Big Al. Heading into the weekend. Go ahead.
Well, we have game 4 of the NBA tonight, and there seems to be an awful lot of people who are just astonished by Luka Doncic. And my take on it is that Doncic has been crying for a long, long time now, and it has to stop because it's really difficult to watch. And we've all seen it numerous times. Why it's getting so much play now is a little baffling to me. And secondly, this is a very, very well-conditioned athlete. And when I hear some people, especially on ESPN, saying that he's not in good shape, I'm like, time out. Okay, this man is in incredible shape. He plays basketball year-round. He just did 82 regular season games, plus I don't know how many they played in the playoffs, 16 or 17 or whatever that number is. The man is in incredible shape. His body type is different. They, you know, when he growing up back, you know, in Eastern Europe, they have a different diet, they eat differently, and therefore their bodies are built and they grow differently. This guy, if I needed somebody to come play a full court basketball, I'm going to say, you can't come out. You got to play 48 minutes. Okay. He's probably one of the first guys I would pick to do that. He's in great shape. People are getting too fooled by a bunch of nonsense. We know what he's great at. We know what he's not. We hope he figures out the blabbering, and just let him play when he's healthy. He's a great talent. Let's enjoy the talent and stop listening to all the pontificators.
Yeah, thanks, Big Al, for the call. I won't push back on his conditioning, you know, because, again, who am I to say that? He's a professional athlete, but he doesn't play any defense. He doesn't play smart defense. He's not a smart player defensively. He's actually a liability, Luka Doncic. And if he's going to clean up that game, he's getting so much heat, Luka Doncic is, that he's going to have no choice other than to spend the offseason, which is going to be a short offseason, right? He's going to go back overseas to his country. He plays internationally for his country, I'm assuming in the Olympics, right? He's not going to have much time off. And all he's going to hear about is how he doesn't play good defense. So he better figure it out. Because once the mainstream media, ESPN, Fox, all those other, you know, the talking head shows, the debate shows, once they get on a topic, it's like a pit bull grabbing you by the collar here. They're not going to let up. And they're going to say that Luka Doncic doesn't play any defense, and they're going to be critical. They're going to be very, very critical of him until he proves that he wants to dedicate more to the defensive side of the ball. Not everyone can be a great defender. Look, Rudy Gobert is different. He's a big man. Michael Jordan was a defensive player of the year, a great defender. Draymond Green has won that award. More talented on defense and offense. And Luka is a brilliant scorer, but he's got to do a better job. You can't win a championship with Luka Doncic playing this type of defense. No way in hell. You got to have someone who's completely committed, who's going to go out and be able to do that. So Lee's Family Forum tonight. I'm heading out here in about an hour. I'll be down there pretty much all night. If you're going to the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame and you're local, please come up and say hello. Should be a fun night there. Coming up next, some of our interviews. Good ones, too. Q was outstanding. Eric Allen. Wow, Eric Allen was good. The coaches, including Antonio Pierce, Max Crosby, and Davante Adams. As we wrap up this week in about an hour on the flagship of the Silver and Black, this is Raider Nation Radio.